T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette, chatting with us 3 times a week through the season. The problem, I think, Wood, I think that Boyle was better than Kizer in this preseason, so that choice is fine. Now, is Tim Boyle good enough if the Packers need just a drive out of him or a quarter out of him or a game or more out of him? That I'm not so sure of. Is there a possibility that they go look elsewhere for another QB2? Or do we have to get ready for Tim Boyle if something does happen to Rodgers?
Well, I don't think that's happening before Thursday night at this point. This being Thursday of game week, you know, Tim Boyle's going to be QB2. Let's put it this way. So this team has traditionally, over the past 5-6 years, kept 3 quarterbacks on the 53. The one exception to that has been 2017, when they went all in on Brett Hundley being QB2. They kept Aaron Rodgers and Brett Hundley as 2 QBs. Aaron Rodgers played at an MVP level for the first 5 games. Game 6 breaks his collarbone, as you all remember. And the entire hope of the franchise now goes to Brett Hundley, and as you know, didn't go well. So that's where Tim Boyle, I mean, he's the only other quarterback on this roster. If anything happens to this 35-year-old turning 36 in December quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, it's Tim Boyle. There's a lot of pressure there. So, you know, the hope is clearly that Aaron Rodgers gets through this season unscathed, that he is injury-free. And if he is, there's every expectation that he plays at a high level. But if there is an injury to Aaron Rodgers, there's a lot of pressure now on Tim Boyle.
Yeah, nothing really surprised me as far as cuts go. I guess what surprised me most last week was just Matt LaFleur coming out and announcing Lane Taylor as the starting left guard. Did he earn that spot in camp and in preseason, or is it just kind of his job right now by default because everybody else is so young?
Well, I don't think he failed to earn that job. I think he was always clearly ahead of Elgton Jenkins. I think that the Packers probably wanted Elgton Jenkins to win that job out of camp, and he just didn't. So Lane Taylor was their best left guard. He's the best left guard that they have right now going into week one, and that's why he's going to be the starter.
The kicker spot did come down to Mason Crosby over Sam Ficken. How much of that had to do with they didn't want the Bears or Vikings to have Mason Crosby if they cut him?
Yeah, you know, it's easy to sit here and say that it did. You know, some of the things I've heard out of Chicago the past couple days is that Ryan Pace wouldn't have signed Mason Crosby because he didn't want to spend a lot of money on a kicker. So it's all speculative. It's hard for me to believe that a Mason Crosby doesn't get picked up by the Bears because he's kicked in Soldier Field more than anyone that they could bring in at this point. And that continues to be a major problem that team has is their kicking situation. It's so bad. I mean, it's almost a mental psyche type thing at this point. It's ingrained in their fabric. If you watch college football, they're kind of the Alabama of kicking teams. Like, Alabama always struggles in kicking, right? That's the Chicago Bears right now. So it's hard to believe that they wouldn't go and get a Mason Crosby. But that is the counterpoint, is that, you know, Mason Crosby would not be cheap. On the open market, he would get paid. And so would they want, you know, the fact that they're still paying a decent lump sum to Cody Parkey, who's no longer there, would they then pay Mason Crosby as well at a position where there's not a lot of stability in general? Maybe not. So I think when you look at the competition here in Green Bay, Mason Crosby outkicked Sam Thicken over the course of camp. His numbers were better. He was more consistent. He doesn't have the raw talent, perhaps, that Sam Thicken does in terms of Sam Thicken's got a stronger leg. I mean, we saw that with the 63-yarder that he kicked on family night. But Mason Crosby is the trusted veteran. He's the guy that's been in clutch situations and come through, kicked in the Super Bowl, the Dallas game a couple years ago in the playoffs, and he knows how to kick in the NFC North late in the season, specifically Lambeau Field, where there's all kinds of tricky wind patterns that you have to master. So all those reasons, I think, is why Mason Crosby remains on this team for a 13th year.
Chuck and Winkler here on the Fan. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath in for Chuck today. We are live. We are here on this Labor Day as we kick off Bears Week, talking with Ryan Wood. You can find him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood.
Ryan, I don't really worry about the depth at the quarterback position, only because if Rodgers does get knocked out, you're probably screwed anyway. But when I look at the linebacker position, mainly the inside linebackers, can you see the Packers adding maybe a veteran, especially with some guys getting cut this past weekend? Or do you think they feel confident enough with some of these young guys?
I was a little surprised they didn't add a guy or claim a veteran yesterday. You know, I think in terms of week one, I think this is the roster they're going into. And I think part of the reason, look, everyone on the 63, the 53 plus the 10 practice squad, every single player was here all offseason. They didn't shop the league. They didn't bring anyone in from the outside. I think part of that, clearly, is that the logistics of getting to Green Bay on a short week, the fact that they have the NFL opener coming up on a Thursday, which means that they're losing 3 days from a Thursday to a Sunday that you typically get. Everything is accelerated this week in a way that is unusual. And it's unique to just two teams in the league, the Bears and the Packers. And the Packers, of course, don't have the transportation access that Chicago does. So, you know, I kind of wonder if after this opener, with the long weekend and more time going into week two, if some of those decisions can be made then, maybe a bit of a reset if there is anything that Brian Gutekunst wants to do with this roster. But I think that the limitations of having the NFL opener and having to accelerate everything was at least a reason, not maybe the reason. I'm sure that they like who they have on their 63 right now, but a reason that every single player on the 53 and the practice squad was here already. And Matt LaFleur even said it yesterday. It helped them get a jump start on yesterday's practice, which was Wednesday in the game week. It was a Wednesday practice, the Wednesday non-padded practice. Today is the Thursday padded practice. It helped them get a jump start to have that. Every single player that was part of practice be someone that was here for a few months now.
Talking with Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. Did the wide receiver finalization of the roster surprise you in any way? They keep Darius Shepherd and Trevor Davis, which a lot of people thought was a either-or. Alan Lazard not on the active roster, but the practice squad. And then it looks like they think Equanimeous St. Brown wasn't going to be ready to return as they send him to the injured reserve. Anything there surprise you?
Well, that's the thing that I thought was shocking, is that they ended Equanimeous St. Brown's season, and I fully expected that they would put him on the active roster for one day and then give him the return designation on IR, but they just didn't. And they must have thought that the injury was something that was going to be a few months and that he wasn't going to be able to return. When I spoke with Equanimeous St. Brown Thursday in the locker room, he told me 4 to 8 weeks. And even on the long side of that, 8 weeks, that would have put him on track to return by week 7. So I was stunned. I was shocked that they didn't put him on the active roster, wait a day to put him on IR so that he could return. The other surprising thing, I think, and maybe it shouldn't be surprising, because Darius Shepherd had, when you look at Darius Shepherd and Alan Lazard, Darius Shepherd had the better camp. He was more productive. Part of that's because Alan Lazard had a concussion against the Raiders, wasn't able to finish preseason. But Darius Shepherd was the more productive receiver in camp. Alan Lazard is the more talented receiver. Alan Lazard is the 6'5", really good size and length. Darius Shepherd is 5'10". He runs a 4.6. You know, undersized and lacking speed is usually a good way to get through to the practice squad. I think what that came down to is just the fact that Darius Shepherd, unlike Alan Lazard, can return. He can return punts. He can return kicks. Trevor Davis is the returner, but what do we know about Trevor Davis is that he has a long, extensive injury history. If he gets injured, who else on this team is going to return? Maybe Jair Alexander. Well, you want him playing cornerback. You don't want him taking shots in the return game. So Darius Shepherd does give them a backup returner that Alan Lazard didn't. So, but it was interesting to me, at the very least, that they went with the receiver who had the better camp over the receiver that has more talent. Now, they were fortunate to get Alan Lazard through the practice squad, and Brian Gutekunst said yesterday that he fully expects that Alan Lazard is going to be playing at some point. When you look at just the nature of injuries in this game, there's every reason to believe that that's the case. He's still part of this team. But, yeah, I mean, I think overall the shocking thing is, you know, the fact that they couldn't figure out a way to keep Equanimeous St. Brown's season alive and give him a chance to return by midseason.
Ryan Wood, follow him on Twitter, by Ryan Wood. We will catch up with you on game day on Thursday, as we're just 3 days away from the start of the Green Bay Packers season, and we'll be with you all year long, and we appreciate that. Ryan, we'll talk on Thursday.
All right, take care.
Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Great Midwest Bank, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.